Hello, blessed saints. Turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 17. This will be the seventh session on the book of Ephesians. Do you know how blessed you are? Or are you waiting for God to plop a blessing on you? Ephesians 1:3 tells us that we have already received all spiritual blessings. All means all, so he did not forget to give us anything. We just have not chosen to believe and manifest what we already have in Christ in us. In chapter 2, we found out that God has placed us in Christ, in the heavenlies, at his right hand, not based on our works, but on the completed work of Christ. If that was not enough, he also has placed Christ in us and declared that we are his workmanship. We have absolutely no basis for boasting in our own accomplishments, but can only boast of the wonder, majesty, mercy, and grace of God in Christ in us. In chapter 3, we learned that the gospel for our age was a mystery or secret that God held hidden within himself until it was given to Paul by direct face-to-face revelation from the risen and glorified King of Kings, Christ Jesus. In the first few verses of chapter 4, we discovered the oneness of God's plan. We are all one in Christ. Christ is the oneness factor of God's plan. His plan all comes together in the Spirit of Christ. We have the one and only hope, Christ in us. We are part of the one body of Christ. We have each been given the one grace gift according to the measure of Christ. And of course, we then skipped forward to the sixth chapter to learn about our implements of spiritual warfare. Once again, we found that it is not of our works, but his. Our flesh desperately wants to take prominence in our lives and thoughts, but the Word of God declares our fleshly works are dead. Our battle is to agree with God that our fleshly works are dead and resist the fiery darts of the devil. So here we are, ready to launch into the list of strategies that Paul wrote down for us. These verses have been used for 2 centuries to beat guilt and shame into Christians, but this is a misuse of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Read with me. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of unbelievers' minds. The King James word vanity in the Greek is Strong's number 3153. It means empty, inutility, or transientness. Their thoughts are transient, that is, of no lasting value or worthless. Their thoughts just come and go, come and go, come and go, with no value. We all know others who just prattle on and on about nothing important, worrying and fretting about everything. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. I'm going to back up and start in 17 again. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now carefully watch verse 19. This verse gives us the process of fleshly thinking and the consequences. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They have given themselves. They have given themselves. Literally, they have surrendered themselves. They made the choice. They have decided to give themselves into lasciviousness. This is the thought process with a purpose. The purpose is to work or act in the flesh. The intended work is fraudulent, taking advantage of others for personal gain in all areas of life. It is a mindset of selfishness. Mine, mine, mine. Look at me, look at me, look at me. My way, my way, my way, mine. Who have, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Do you see what I'm driving at? Let's approach it in another way. Keep your finger in Ephesians and look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. This is a small part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." As Jesus points out with great clarity, the problem is one of our thoughts. The sin is committed whether the actual act takes place or not. In the time that Jesus spoke these words, the listeners were under the laws of Moses. Adultery was a sin punishable by stoning. Of course, we in the time of grace, the time of the mystery, have been redeemed from the law and all our sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 shouts, "That is not of our works." So as Jesus points out, it is the thought process where the battle with Satan happens. By the time we actually do the deed, we have long since made the decision to give ourselves over to the enemy and follow his ruinous ways. As a believer with Christ in us, we are made brand new, but we still have this fleshly body that serves as our earth suit for the short while we are here. Romans chapter 7 calls our earth suit the old man and likens it to a dead body. God has reckoned it as dead, as should we. Now back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or way of life, that you put off concerning the former way of life the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. please notice here that our old man is corrupt, that is, in the process of rotting, according to the deceitful lusts. Our old man, the flesh, our earth suit, is corrupt and is still subject to the deceit and trickery of the devil. This is why we have to do battle. Every time we let down our guard, sizzling darts find their target. The armor of God is all about what we believe. I'll say that again. The armor of God is all about what we believe. Believing equals receiving. The shield of faith, or the shield of believing, is how we quench the fiery darts of the devil. Another way of describing the armor of God is the process of renewing our mind. We are given the put-on, put-off dynamic as a tool in renewing our mind. We are to put off the old man and put on the new. This is not works, it is in your mind, believing the promises of God. When we put on the new man and walk out in Christ, the works of Christ are manifested. Verse 20, But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is truly holy, justified, and righteous. The new man can't try to be better or act better, because the new man is in Christ and is perfectly holy. It's that rotting corpse, the old man, that is continually pulling us away from God. In the flesh, we cannot. In the flesh, we cannot please God. It is not our fleshly works, no matter how well intended. Fleshly works are evil with consequences that damage others. The works that result from the thoughts of Christ in us are holy, powerful, and bless others in ways beyond what we can imagine. When we renew our mind, we are putting on the thoughts of the new man and putting off the thoughts of the old man. Here's Paul's next specific example. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Lying, or speaking an untruth, is the result of thoughts designed to deceive. Who's the father of deceit? Oh, yeah. Thoughts to deceive are fleshly thoughts. Thoughts that have their root in dead flesh inspired by Satan. Deception always has a victim and evil consequences. There is no deceptiveness in Christ. I'm going to say that again. There is no deceptiveness in Christ. Speaking the truth in the new man, we are members one of another. When we damage one another, we are damaging ourselves, because we are one in the body of Christ. Verse 26, Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now there's the punchline. Don't give the devil a foothold. not even a single dot. Give him no place. So take your time. Study out the next few verses with examples of our warfare. Look at the thought process behind the statement and how the put-on, put-off dynamic applies. It's about changing our thinking and believing. Our attitude is a direct result of our believing. One steals because they believe they have to supply their own need and fear that they cannot, so they take from others. Notice, it is about selfishness. The put-on mindset is, I want to give to others that have a need, so I find a job, so I can give to others. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Do you see? Corrupt communication or fleshly communication comes from the thoughts of the old man. The thoughts that result in edification and minister grace are the thoughts that originate from Christ in you. It's a put-on, put-off. Bitterness is replaced with tender-heartedness, wrath with forgiveness, evil speaking with words of grace. It's all about what we believe and think. In the renewed mind, in manifestation, we will see the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of the flesh. From the same fountain comes both bitter water and sweet. Jesus said, it should not be so. It is our choice to renew our mind or not. We have both sources, either evil or holy. We choose our source and thought by our believing, and the results spew forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Do you see? The strongholds are our imaginations, our thoughts, our believing, our fleshly believing, and our fleshly thoughts. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have all spiritual blessings. For we wrestle not, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. One of the biggest and most damaging darts of the enemy is self-condemnation. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians, we are in Christ. We have no condemnation. None. Zero. Ephesians 2:9 shouts, not of works, lest any man should boast. To have a carnal mindset is a life of living death, but a spiritual mindset is life and peace. The carnal mindset is at war against God, for it is not subject to God. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, none. Ephesians, written to believers of Jesus Christ, those born of God's seed, born into a new race, the body of Christ. Ephesians, written to those blessed with all spiritual blessings. Yeah, you and me, blessed beyond all we can imagine by the one grace gift. Ephesians, written so that we can know the how, what, and why of victory in Christ. Put it on and walk in it. Yes, blessed, way beyond the curse.